Hey there, welcome to Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
We've got a special morning edition of the show. It's not usually when we record, but we're up, we're ready to go. And we got a nice show planned for you. I would tell you what I was going to talk...
Do you know what this is a sign of, Eric?
What?
We're getting old.
It is.
Yeah.
I would tell you what I was going to talk about, but Rochelle has written all over my show outline, so you'll just have to see. Anyways, tip, tap, tip. We're fine. You know, I should have known that had I left the outline on the kitchen counter with a pen lying on top of it. They're just asking for abuse, right?
I thought that's why you left it there.
Like, for you to write all over?
Yeah, I thought you were like, oh, I'm going to leave this here with the pen, and then Rochelle can add stuff that she wants to put on it. So that's what I did.
Okay, well, I'll read you some of Rochelle's revisions to... So what were some of my comments here? You know, what is your favorite thing this week? Eric, she wrote beside my name, picking my butt. I don't know if that's necessarily my favorite thing this week, but it is in the top five. Rochelle being awesome.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to take a picture of this piece of art because it is something else. And I think that I need to share this with the world. So that being said, welcome to the show. How are you doing, Rochelle?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I went out last night.
Yeah, how was that? How was it going out amongst the world and hanging out with people?
It's very different.
How so?
You notice things differently when you're older.
What did you notice when you were out?
Well, I noticed how poorly the bathroom was renovated.
Yes, of course.
Seriously, it's like they obviously got one of the bartenders to renovate the bathroom or something because all the tiles were uneven and there was still, what do you call that stuff that goes in between the tiles?
Grout.
Grout.
Yeah, yeah.
There was still grout on the tiles because he didn't wipe it.
Oh, he didn't.
Fast enough. And so it just hardened.
Oh, on top.
And they're all unlevel. I should have taken a picture of it. It was like... Like the intention was there. They had a really good color palette. Mm-hmm. They had really good materials, but the execution was just bombed.
You know what?
Just bombed. And then there was like one little weird spot. Cause it was, you know, this is an older building mm-hmm. and it was probably a closet that they renovated into a bathroom.
Okay.
And so there's just, instead of it being square, there's kind of like a little cutout in the wall.
Okay.
And the person just didn't know what to do with flooring wise, so they just left it bare. And I'm like,
so there's this bare square, like
you know how it's like a recessed wall.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah.
a little bit of a recessed wall. It's not even yeah.
Sort of like if you look behind you in the Tip Tap Tip Studio A.
Yeah, just like that, but on the ground.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's probably just a patch of drywall that they, you know, never got drywalled or something.
So they just kind of, all right, well.
I don't know. Just,
you know, like I like to think that, I realize that I'm not an expert at all things. And I know where, what I'm good at, and I know most of the things which I'm bad at. You know, maybe it was a budgetary thing. You know, it's a lot of money to open a restaurant or was it a pub?
It's a pub, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pub. And I know, yeah, it is a lot of money. And it definitely, I can see them trying to save a bit of money that way. But, you could probably find anybody, like I could probably do a better job than what they did. I don't have any experience
in
that.
When you had a Ime Harris studio, did you do a lot of the renovations? And I know you put up some shelves.
No, I didn't do anything. All I did was paint it because... The thing is, when you renovate a place that you're leasing, you're putting money into a space that's a rental, right?
Gotcha. So
whatever money you put into materials to change and fix things, it's staying in that building.
Yeah, it's not like you can take a wall with you when you move out.
No. So no, I did not do any sort of renovations that way because that's
major,
just money lost. Really.
Yeah. So other than
anything that I couldn't take with me, I did not do.
So other than questionable renovations, what other things did you notice when you went out last night?
Everyone's very young.
Yeah, it tends to be. You know, were you feeling old? Are you feeling about self-conscious about your age? Because everybody, this is why I never leave the house ever. This is why I'm going to spend the rest of my days in the basement.
I wasn't feeling self-conscious about my age at all. I just, it just wasn't very interesting. I don't want to hang out with kids.
Yeah, it's weird, eh? And it's hard. When do you think that actual switch is where you're, is it when you turn 30, when you realize, oh, this isn't, when you're suddenly become the old person?
Okay, but I'm telling you that I didn't feel that way.
Okay.
I just didn't have anything in common with any of the people that were there.
Gotcha.
And, you know, it's just, they're...
You know what it is?
I can look fondly at them and be like, yeah, I remember renting an apartment down here and... You know, I don't know. It's just...
You know what it is? You know, this is...
I don't have anything in common with them. That's basically
it. This is the definer of generational differences. And I realize this quickly, especially when I'm talking with a younger person. There's certain cultural references which I make, and then they'll make themselves, of which I have no idea what they're talking about. And more specifically, it's really easy to tell when people are talking about kid shows that they watched growing up. I can talk about, or kid shows or movies, right? So I talk about Gremlins, which is, you know, and then they're talking about, you know, watching that show Arthur as a kid in the 90s. And I have no idea what that, like, you know, because it wasn't something I was watching, right? And they know all the characters, they know Rugrats, and I'm just like, I know of the show, but yeah, and so they'll be making these references. Also, Supernatural, a show I never really got into, but people really like that show.
I don't even know what that is.
Two brothers fighting ghosts and stuff. See, I sound like an idiot to any of our younger listeners who watched all 1 million seasons of that show, apparently. The show was on forever.
Is that like the Superman one?
No, that's Smallville. This is...
It's
two brothers fighting supernatural stuff.
Yeah, see, I think that maybe my standards and my expectations are just different than what you would get in a pub.
How so? What are your standards or expectations?
Well, when I was looking through the menu, mm-hmm. I said to my cousin, I'm like, why don't they just have a charcuterie platter? It's such a basic thing to have in any sort of pub. It's not that hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, because the things that I'm seeing are either they have like I can't eat dairy.
Yeah.
So that eliminates so many things. Mm-hmm. And then you don't want to eat like deep fried stuff.
Speaking of which, thank you for bringing home
which that. Which is like everything.
You brought, what did you bring home? That deep fried sushi or something like that?
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It was tempura. Tempura tuna sushi. Mm-hmm. It was called a tuna poppers.
And that's, for me, that's like, now that you're talking about it, it seems strange that that's pub food. Pub food, I think, fish and chips.
Everything else on the menu was like that. They did have like a few other things that were kind of like Asian fusion type food.
Yeah.
Like that, I guess. But, I don't know.
So anyways,
and then I'm like, I'm looking at like, you know, these people next to me are sitting there and they're, you know how like our table umbrella in our backyard has a base, right? If it didn't have the base, the table umbrella would just
spin
or, you know, like not stand upright. Well, the tables in that pub don't have bases on them. So they're just spinning all over the place.
Like with the slightest breeze.
And they're
breeze.
Like leaning all the way over. And I'm just like, seriously, people. Seriously.
Get
you
a
need
base.
To put bases on those fuckers. Like, you can't do that because then all the people sitting around them, they're young 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
They probably don't even know about bases for table umbrellas. And they're just kind of trying to like prop it up and hold it up constantly.
Oh my goodness.
I know. It was so dumb. It's like, so do you know what I mean? So this is what I'm saying is that my standards have changed.
Yeah.
So I can't go to like the shitty ass pub. I have to go somewhere a little bit nicer.
Okay.
I think, next time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was the average age of this, like demographically speaking, of this place that you did go to?
Oh, maybe 20, 25.
Man. Where do people...
They all looked really...
Where do people our age go to? I don't think they go...
And then the thing with like younger kids is like they all hang out in massive groups. Like six people.
So, okay.
Eight
so they,
people, parties.
So what happens? What happened to... what happens to people between their age and our age? I see. I guess they get married, they have kids, they move out to the suburbs.
Yeah, I know. And then where do they hang out? They hang out in pubs.
I think they hang out at each other's houses.
Yeah.
Or they hang out at a neighborhood pub. They hang out at, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. There were some, like, you know, I think in the area that I was in, I mean, there are pubs where there are older people. It's just the person that I was with didn't want to go to those places.
Oh, okay.
Because they still feel like they're 20.
What do you think?
Some sort of denial.
Some sort of denial. Well, but the thing is, I would feel like the weirdest person in the room if I was to go to the places that I hang out 20 years ago. Oh my goodness, I'm so old.
Don't exist anymore.
Well, when they don't exist, but similar type places, like, you know, the equivalent of a, you know, all, it's funny because like all the places which I spent hours and probably tons of money, including sizable chunks of my student loan at, they're either knocked down, have been turned into other places. It's just, in a ways, you know, you kind of look back fondly at these places, you know, because of all the shenanigans that you got into there. But
But also think of all the stupid shit that you did.
I don't even want to think about all the silly stuff that I got involved in. But
you know, when we were driving down to the like down to go out, we saw these girls walking down the road, and my friend was just like, "Oh my goodness, their shorts are so short."
Well, yeah, they're.
She's like, they look like prostitutes. You can see their butt cheeks. Mm-hmm. And this one girl had her purse kind of covering her butt.
Yeah.
Probably because she was feeling self-conscious about her butt cheeks sticking out of her shorts. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And that makes me feel old. I would never wear shorts that short.
Yeah.
Never.
Me neither. I would never wear shorts that short.
Even if I had a smoking bod, I would not wear shorts that short. That's just like wearing a bathing suit.
I suppose that's one way to do it.
Maybe if you live in LA by the beach or something, it seems a little bit more appropriate, but it's not really that warm here, especially at night. Oh, cool. It's really cold.
It does cool down at night. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You've been watching a show on Netflix recently.
Is this show going to be all like interviewing me?
No. I actually have a story which I want to get into later, which I think we need to kind of take the time to explore because this is nutso. But before we get into that, I want to talk about Rochelle's new favorite show, Doomsday Preppers.
There's all kinds of dangers.
Earthquakes.
Catastrophic collapse.
Supervolcano.
Total destruction.
EMP.
The end of the world as we know it.
Go. That's great. It starts with an
earthquake. Let's go. Let's go.
This is your emergency preparedness toy store right here.
If the world comes to an end, I'll be eating some good stuff.
The extent that my wife and I go to is probably, let's say, insane.
Fast, 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 fast.
Commit fire.
That's survival, folks.
Here's to the end of the world.
I just want to be ready.
It would be like somebody instantly flipped the switch on the world.
Do you think when REM wrote this song in the 1980s that they had any idea that this song would be used to advertise a show called Doomsday Preppers
on Netflix? Do you think they know now?
Well, you know, probably not because it's probably some licensing company which handles all of that. They said which owns all the rights to the REM music to use for whatever purpose, and whomever at Doomsday Preppers has said, you know what? This would be the perfect song for our show about people getting all prepped for the end of the world. Now you, how many episodes of this did you watch?
Okay, so I have come up with a plan for the Skilling family. We need to stack up our resources for water.
Okay,
yes. For sure. Yeah. We need to start buying some guns.
Yes.
And we need to start a reserve of bulk foods such as rice and flour.
Okay.
And canned goods as well.
How do you think it's all going to play out?
And we need ammo. Lots of ammo.
Lots of guns and ammo.
Yeah. And solar panels on our house. Mm-hmm. And we need to start siphoning our poop so that we can make usable gas from that.
This is all stuff you've learned from the show.
Yeah.
How do you, okay, but in your mind.
And
how,
our whole backyard needs to be transformed into a vegetable garden.
Okay.
We need to can all the vegetables and have a stockpile for at least 20 years.
Wow. Yeah. How do you think this end of the world is going
to
play out?
But because we're going to have so much stuff, we need to build a castle, like a fort, around our house. So what we need to do is we have to move to the outskirts of the city and take train canister containers, build a fortress out of those things because those things are bulletproof.
Okay, yeah.
Then have an electric fence around that.
Keep other people out.
And keep our well and water supply within the fortress or else people will steal
it. You've really thought this out, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've planned it all.
So my question for you is, how is this end of the world all gonna play out? What is this doomsday?
Zombies.
Zombies. Yeah. It's not going to be like some sort of economic collapse or...
No.
What were some of the... you watched the show. What were some of the things that people thought was going to happen to the world that would cause them to... you mentioned there was like a polar shift, like a flip, right?
Yes, and I don't see that coming.
But what were some of the other things that these doomsday prepper?
Volcanic eruption.
Okay. So were they all environmental
apparently
type things?
Apparently in the States, like there's a volcano that hasn't erupted in a while and
it did
erupt recently and the ash, you know, it can kill people.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you think zombies when it gets down to it?
And I think Trump is probably going to start a war. I would... With Korea.
You know, well, hopefully, there's always the cabin.
That's going to definitely be, you know, all the Americans are going to try and come to Canada for rescue.
Oh, wouldn't that be funny?
No, it wouldn't be funny because then where are they going to go? Where are they going to live, Eric?
I don't know. I'm sure there's room in Red Deer or Medicine Hat or...
Lethbridge. They can go to Lethbridge.
They can go to Lethbridge.
But then all of their food and resources in Canada, like, we're not going to have enough.
Doomsday prepper.
And then all the Americans have guns. That's the reason why we need guns, too.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the wrong mentality. Is you start ramping up. It's like, well, so-and-so has a gun. Well, I need a bigger gun. And then the guy goes, well, so-and-so has a bigger gun. I need a bazooka. And next thing you know, we're all dead. You know, there's no...
Yeah, we need a cannon. Just get a cannon.
Just be walking around with like one of those, I don't know what era, like those pirate era ship cannons wheeling around on wheels and sitting there with like a match go, and I'll do it. I'll fucking do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds perfect. Actually, you know, what would be even more perfect if you could invent a robot that was also a cannon, because then we wouldn't actually have to wheel it around. The robot would be wheeling around itself.
But you know, but come on, Rochelle, you've been watching this show. You know.
But you know what? Why are we fucking around with like this? Seriously, why don't we just get a tank?
Well, that is the natural conclusion. You
know, just get down to it. Like, get a tank.
You have a big machine gun? Well, I have a fucking tank. Deal with it.
You have a little wheelie cannon? I got a tank.
Eat shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I should set up a GoFundMe for the Tip Tap Tip tank.
Yes, sounds perfect.
So if you want to get started on that donation, send us all your... Well, you know, will money be worth anything in this end of the world scenario?
That's why you have to save up things to barter. This one couple...
Send all your gold, buy it.
No, it's not even gold, Eric. You're not thinking right. This one couple is saving up alcohol because you know how much things, how many things you could use alcohol for?
Other than getting drunk?
Yeah.
And forgetting about how shitty the world has turned?
Yeah. You can heal wounds with it, use it as an antiseptic. You can also make bombs with it.
So, I'll be the guy at the end of the world scenario with a case full of wild turkey who's ready to help out the world.
Yeah. Like, and the thing that me and my friend were talking about last night is, you know, the people who are going to be surviving at the end of the world are people who have a usable skill.
Yeah.
That is going to help other people. And we don't have those types of skills.
Not the types of skills that people need in those situations, that's for sure.
Not at all. So I've decided that I'm going to go back to school to become a dentist.
That's true.
Because when people have painful teeth, they want a dentist.
Yeah, and in this end of the world scenario.
Like nobody cares what their hair looks like at the end of the world scenario.
So you don't think you're going to be like some sort of doomsday hairstylist?
No, I'm going to be the person who's just going to be sacrificed or something.
Okay.
Like, what's your skill? I make drawings and I cut hair. Oh yeah, you're dead.
You're dead. I don't think I have any usable skills for those types of scenarios either. I think I'd probably be the first to go within like a week of this.
Yeah, I know. Both of us. We're fucked.
So maybe I need to start augmenting these skills.
This one guy, he's able to tell which plants are edible.
That's a good skill to have.
Yeah. That's a very good skill to have. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we could learn.
You know, I suppose, yeah. It's maybe I could be
as long as you don't die in the process of trying to learn that. Be like, this, I know this plant's edible. And then you eat it and then you're like, oh, wrong one.
And then you just get really, really high.
Now I'm dead.
Or high.
Yeah, I'm thinking more dead.
Yeah, probably dead. So the lesson learned, Eric and Rochelle need to start becoming more skilled for these end of the world scenarios. Oh, man. So how many episodes of this show did you watch though? Like I remember there's like the one.
Why do you always ask me these difficult questions? I'm not a counter. I'm not counting down the episodes.
Okay.
I don't do that.
All right. Fair enough. I will not ask.
So what are you watching right now? Oh, Terrace House.
I know. I'm still watching that.
Oh, you're still watching Terrace House? Seriously, how many episodes are there in that?
It's too many. Too many episodes or show.
Do you understand Japanese now?
No, because there's subtitles. I don't need to understand.
Yeah, but are there any words that are like picking them up or something?
Yeah, I understand that kawaii means cute. Hi means yes. Hi. I understand that kambanya means good evening. That's really all I picked up in too many episodes.
That's pretty good.
That's three words. So yeah. I'm getting there. So in about a million years, I'll be quite fluent. I don't know. There's just too much to talk about that show. And I'm not, there's this one clip I really kind of want to get into, but, before we do that, I found a couple of Craigslist this morning. I know it's that time again, but this one I want to read. But before we do that, I gotta cue up the Craigslist music. I gotta get the smooth jazz. Come on, let's have a listen.
Nice.
Okay. Can't you calm down there, smooth jazz? This one kind of reads like a poem in the way that it's written. This one's titled "At the Park." This is all from Calgary. This connection's
And what is it? Male for female? Female for male?
You know what? They stopped doing that.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, non-gender, blah, blah, blah stuff, right?
Yeah. Maybe? So this one's just titled "At the Park." Over in the bushes while the sun beat upon the grass, I was down on my knees and you showed me where to put my hand.
What?
A memory two, three, or four, I will always be your little whore. If this ad finds you alone and wanting more, please reply with what I should call you.
Nice. That's cute.
That is cute. So that was from Calgary's Craigslist.
I want to know who that is.
Well, we'll reply to the ad and maybe you can find out. This is... I'll read... How about you read this one here?
All right. The guy with knit hat at Carl's Jr. See, this still has woman for man. Still
okay,
has
I don't know why that... Maybe they just have to...
Maybe they just didn't want to put it.
Yeah.
I was with my father eating lunch this afternoon. Red blonde hair, tan sweater, and red pants. You had dark hair, beard, and knit hat. Studying or working? I think I could see you over my father's shoulder. We made eye contact a few times. If you use Snapchat, chat, or do naughty, leave me your profile name. If you see this, tell me where you were sitting. And if you'd like to go for a hike or a cup of coffee.
Nice.
I don't know what Snapchat is, and I don't know what do naughty is, but that does not sound like hiking or a cup of coffee.
No, it doesn't. I know it's
I'm confused.
I know what Snapchat is. Do naughty is a first for me. I actually had to Google that this morning to figure out what that was.
What is it?
Like a dating thing, the site app thing.
Sounds like a hookup site.
Yeah, something like that.
That doesn't sound like dating.
But Snapchat, sure. Why not? All right, we go. Here's a good one. It reminds me of a situation which happened to me. Not the sex part, but well, you'll hear. I had come to fix your printer. This one's called I Fixed Your Printer yesterday. Saturday, Sunridge area, Calgary. I had come to fix your printer. Your work colleagues had spilt toner all over it. I know how that feels.
Yep. Yeah. That sucked when you did that.
Yeah, go look in our archives, audience, if you want to see exactly... Or hear exactly what a mess a toner can make. I chatted for a bit after they left and found talking to you to be quite enjoyable, and I hope you felt the same. Plus, you're pretty cute. I had to leave because I had more work to do, but I really regretted not getting your number or just asking you out on the spot. Give a guy a second chance. If you were interested in connecting, tell me what I said before leaving that made you laugh. And last one, Rochelle.
But do people actually read these, though? That's what I'm wondering. It's like, I feel like they're kind of writing to...
They're just kind of throwing... It's like a message in a bottle. You throw it into the sea, and then hopefully somebody will retrieve it.
I wonder how many people actually do reconnect on this from this. In town for a marathon and more than just the race, Calgary. Things happen for a reason, and though our meeting was brief, it made me think... This weekend could be filled with amazing memories never to be forgotten. I'm having daydreams of hot nights we could have together constantly. Was I too much of a gentleman for you? It happened so fast. Indeed, I'm polite. But don't let that deter you much. The intense look you gave me from the moment said you wanted a night you'd never forget, and I will give it to you again and again and again.
Ooh, that's romantic.
You'll lose count.
All right. That is pretty...
You are so tall and fit and naturally gorgeous, perhaps above me, but we matched so well in every way, unlike anyone I've ever met before. I could only imagine the marathon we'd be capable of together. I'm just here for the weekend, but everything could be so perfect for those days. The place I'm staying in, exploring the city, exploring each other. Then reality hits. I don't want to be lonely. I'm putting my trust in the universe to make my dreams come true and make this a weekend I'll never forget. Go to it, universe!
Go. That's my favorite part of this one. It's like, go, universe, go! Well, that was our Craigslist for, you know, it's funny because I'd found one from our local pub But it wasn't very interesting, so I didn't decide to read it. You know, the pub beside the London Drugs. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Tipsy
Pig. And I said, oh, that's my little local pub. That should be good. Nah, just about a guy leaving a note. Nothing interesting.
Oh.
Not like some of the ones we just read. I've been sitting on this story for a little bit, and it's something that I'm looking forward to talking because it was just one of the more interesting things that I've heard this week. I'll give you the really brief rundown because this is an interview which I think we need to explore in depth. It's a little bit of a longer clip, but it is bonkers, which is why I'm leaving us lots of room to kind of talk about it. Here's a gentleman, 30 years old. He's being sued by his parents because he refuses to move out. And he's representing himself in court to fight against his parents because he wants to stay at home. Yeah. So that being said, I'm just going to let this clip speak for itself. This is CNN interviewing this gentleman and talking about how the trial went, his reasonings, et cetera, et cetera. Let's just have a listen.
8 years of free room and board is long enough. That is the feeling of an upstate New York couple who's been trying to kick their 30-year-old son, Michael Rotondo, out of their house.
Okay, Rochelle. Right off the bat, you're...
I'm like, oh yeah, he looks like he's slumming it for sure.
Yeah, he looks like the kind of guy who refuses to move out at 30. Yeah. Not like we're generalizing or anything, but we are generalizing, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Incentive. They gave him money to get started. They even sent him several letters to vacate, but the son says he was not given enough notice. Michael has a young son himself who he lost custody of within the last year, and now these parents have actually gone to the courts, and the verdict is that the judge evicted him. And I had a chance to speak with Michael moments ago. Here's our conversation.
Hold on to your hats, Rochelle. This is something else.
Nice.
All right.
Michael, welcome.
Hi.
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 Hi. So let me start with you're 30.
Right.
The simplest question: do you not want to find your own place?
No.
Why not?
I don't want to live there anymore.
I don't want to live with your parents.
No. It's not. It's very tense. It's very awkward. It's. We have to. You know, we have to share space, which, you know, may be the case with where I would find myself afterwards. But I'd prefer to get out.
Okay, so on the preferring to get out, let's rewind for a second, because it's my understanding you've lived, you know, at your parents' house rent-free for 8 years. And I know you do your own laundry, you buy your own food, but they asked you 5 times, please move out. Why couldn't you guys resolve this without the court?
I would consider much of what they were doing to try to get me out as a tax, and what I was trying to, I was just, you know, trying to preserve, trying to do what's best for me, which is just, you know, let's try to be a little more reasonable. You know, I'll leave. I don't like living here, but I need, you know, I need reasonable time. And as an example of
8 years is not enough. To, you know, a person in my situation needs at least 16 years to really get to the point where I'm ready to move out, you know.
Okay, I want to hear what he has to say. Sorry.
Okay, let's hear him.
First notice that I received, the February 2nd notice, was basically, you have 14 days before you're outside in the winter weather. So the first thing I did when I got that was I made sure that wasn't going to happen. I contacted the police department. I said, is this something that's, you know, this could happen? And they're like, no, you just call us. That they can't do that. And I said, all right. And I was like, all right. And
Michael, I'm listening to you. I really am. But let me just understand, because I hear you on your parents giving you notices. The fact that you are on national television talking about moving out of your parents' house, you tell me you want to move out of your parents' house. Why don't you just move out of your parents' house? Like, tomorrow?
I don't have the means to do that tomorrow.
Okay.
So,
do you have a job?
No.
Are you trying to get a job? Because I read that one of the things your parents asked of you, there are jobs available even for those with a poor work history like you. Get one. You have to work.
Okay, so this, just so that we're not running through this whole clip, what do you think of the situation so far? Do you think he's being reasonable? Do you think the parents are being unreasonable? What do you, like, he's 30 years old. He's been living in his parents' place rent-free for 8 years. Yeah, he does pay for certain things, you know, food and stuff. You know, I think it's fair for the parents to say, okay, get it together, dude.
Yeah, but I think it's, you know, like everybody's looking at him like, get it together, dude. But his parents are enablers too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
his parents are letting him live in Absolutely. That house for 8 years, not paying any rent at all. That was their decision to do that. They kind of gave him the cushiest life possible, and then they're wanting to take it away from him immediately. Yeah. Well, that's not going to be easy.
Yeah. They certainly created the situation by letting him stay there for, you know, years and years and years. But yeah, it's just, I know, like, it's tricky though, because you just want to poke fun at this guy because he's just ridiculous.
I know, but he's a result of the parents. Mm-hmm. That's what he is. Like, the, you know, when I was younger, my parents were like, either you go to college or university, then you could live in our house for free.
Yeah.
But after school, if you're not working or going to school
or married
or whatever, then I would obviously not be living at my parents' house. Yeah. But if I was living at my parents' house and not going to school, then I had to pay rent.
Yeah.
And they did that with all of us.
Yeah.
Except for maybe my youngest sister, because she's spoiled.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, And then you're like, if I'm already paying rent to live with my parents and I don't really like living with my parents, why don't I pay rent and have my own place?
Exactly. That was a similar situation with me. Like, there's, you know, after a certain age, they said, okay, well, you're an adult, so you're going to be paying us rent. And, you know, I how old was I when I first moved out? And, well, I guess permanently moved out. Well, I think it was 19 or 20. So then I was gone, you know, and then lived in various places, and more than I can remember, which is easy to move when you have barely anything to move.
And I think the longer that you stay living at your parents' house, or longer that kids stay living at the parents' house, the more difficult it is, because then you start building up your expenses. Like, maybe this guy doesn't look like he has like a nice car or anything, like, because he's not working at all. But if you're working and living at your parents' house and not paying rent, all of a sudden you have a new phone every year.
Yeah.
You have a $700 a month car payment for your new car.
Yeah.
Well, then how are you supposed to move out? Because now you've built up all of your expenses on other stuff other than rent.
Whereas if you were to...
Then you're stuck.
Whereas if you were to move out first, and then you would think twice about getting that car payment or that other stuff.
Well, you wouldn't be able to afford it.
Yeah, exactly. Because your primary expense would be the roof over your head.
But at the same time, like, if you are able to do that, and then you have bought yourself a really nice car that's going to last you for 20 years, that's kind of nice too.
Let's hope our Sienna lasts forever.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if I lived at home with my parents and I was able to buy a nice car, then... But the thing is, I liked biking and, you know, getting around that way, so it was not a big deal.
All right, let's continue.
Are you working on that?
I have plans to be able to provide myself with the income I need to support myself, but it's not something that's going to come together tomorrow. So I'm trying to do what's best for me, and you know, I do want to leave, and I want to leave as soon as possible, but, you know, it's not tomorrow. I don't think it should have to be tomorrow. And
You want it to be tomorrow. It just isn't tomorrow because you don't have the means yet to make it tomorrow. Here's the next thing.
Right.
I mean, do you, a lot of us have lived with our parents maybe a little bit longer than we wish we could. Please take a sip of your water. Do you not want privacy, Michael? I mean, do you not want, you know, relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, friendships, space, not shared walls with mom and dad?
I do want those things.
Yeah. So your parents took you to court, to force you out of their home. And you sat there and you represented yourself and you argued that you should have more time. I know that you wanted the 6 months. And I've heard you say, ironically, by the time maybe you'll leave, it will be that 6 months. The court didn't side in your favor. Will you fight the court? Will you fight your parents on this?
I'm going to send a letter that I've already prepared to my parents' attorney that says, send an order to the court, this proposed order, that is for 3 months.
What do you want to say, Rochelle?
It sounds like he is just procrastinating everything.
He's trying to stall, get as much time as he can within. And you could just even actually, it's funny because.
The look on the newscaster's
and the nature of her questions, she thinks this guy is a huge piece of shit, basically. And she's like,
I don't think a piece of shit. I think she thinks he's a loser.
Okay. But yeah, she does not think much of this guy.
No, she's okay, take a sip of your water.
I know, I heard that.
But then did you see the smug look on his face?
He's like,
yeah, I'm going to do what's best for me. Because that's what he keeps saying, right? I'm going to do what's best for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's best for me,
So he doesn't care about what is happening with his parents. He's only thinking about himself.
Okay.
He doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to do anything. When was the last time he got his hair cut? It was probably like 10 years ago.
Yeah. All right. Listen to this.
The court won't accept that, although I don't think that makes any sense. I'm not a lawyer. I don't really know. But, I guess the court can just...
I'm not a lawyer, and yet I represented myself in court against my parents. All right? Just putting that...
Well, he doesn't have any money because he doesn't have a job. So how could he find a lawyer to represent him?
No, but everybody has the right to a lawyer, right? Like, whether it's...
A
publicly appointed lawyer, right?
Okay.
But he chose to represent himself.
You know what he sounds like?
What?
A free man.
Oh yes, those guys.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Yeah, that's a whole other ball of weirdness.
Yeah,
can deny any proposed order that they like, but I would say that to the attorney. I'm saying to the attorney, if you put this proposed order for 3 months in, or a proposed order for 3 months in, I won't fight anymore for the case. And the ironic thing is that if they had sent me the 6 month notice to quit in February, it would have cost them $0 in legal expenses.
So, okay.
That's another thing is these parents are spending their own money to take this guy to court just to get him out. Like it's...
Well, even trying to have a conversation with him, you're not even getting an answer. No. He's just saying nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legal expenses aside and time spent in court, I'm sure you're irked. I'm sure your parents are irked. But, you only have one mom and dad. And I understand that you are probably more upset than even you're letting on. But don't you want to reconcile with them?
No.
Wow.
No, I don't.
No.
Oh, hi. We got a visitor here.
That's crazy. He doesn't even want... His parents have taken care of him for that long.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even want to reconcile with them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a douchebag.
Yeah, something else.
That was my son. I would be so insulted.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like you have no inclination to reconcile, and yet you're living with us basically rent-free.
He's like, there's no, like, oh, thank you. Thank you, mom and dad.
Nothing. Yeah.
Wow. What a dick.
Maybe you should be a newscaster.
Why?
Ask these tough questions.
No, I would not be able to hide my emotions.
Okay.
She's not really hiding her emotions
not
at all.
Really,
she's just like disgust.
Yeah.
Ew.
Right. Are you aware of the component regarding my son and about how I lost my visitation? Yeah. So right after that, they're like, well, we want you to start doing, don't worry about your case, which was, that took... That's a full-time job doing and setting up an appeal for an order like that for custody and visitation. What you need to do right now is get a full-time job and get health insurance, or we're going to throw you out. And it was devastating to lose my son. And I was just It really,
okay.
I was done with them. I was done with them after that. I was done with them after that point.
So what he's referencing here is that, oh, hello. We got a, some, okay, who asked who ran away. He has a son from somewhere, and he lost custody of the son. I'm not sure the reasons why. But yeah, so maybe he's, well, 8 years is a long time to be depressed, but it could be the case. Maybe there's something more to this whole story that we're not realizing. Let's finish this up.
Heart goes out to you on the custody issue.
The last
piece of this, though, Michael, and this is really my last question. There are a lot of people who have read about your story, and the thought bubble is, what is up with this millennial generation that you guys seem so entitled? What would you say to those critics?
I would say that I'm really not a member of that demographic that they're speaking to, of that group. I'm a very conservative person. The millennials that they're speaking to are...
Okay, I'm going to pause here. You know, because one of the... If that's what he's talking about, one of the tenets of conservatism is self-sufficiency, being able to...
Yeah, but that's not what he's doing, though.
No, being able to rely on oneself to better oneself. And this is totally not what he's doing. You know what? You get what I'm saying, right?
Wow, he's in denial.
Yeah.
Liberal in their ideology.
But you're 30, so technically I think you are part of the millennial generation. I don't think there's a delineation between...
You're right. But when people speak to the millennials and their general nature as a millennial, they speak to more liberal leanings. In my opinion, do you disagree?
Okay, so
I don't think it's for me.
Yeah, go
millennials
ahead.
Are just the year that you were born. It has to do with like a certain generation of people.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to do with, and I think she's trying to say that to him. It doesn't have to do with what your political stance is.
Exactly. Like, you know,
and he thinks that it's a political stance.
I see where both people are coming from. Like, there is a generalization with millennials being entitled, of acting a certain way in the workforce, et cetera, et cetera. And he's saying that he doesn't necessarily fit that stereotype of millennials, which does exist.
Based on his political stance.
Yeah, based on his political stance. And she's,
I don't see what that has to do with it.
I don't really get it. He doesn't want to be lumped with them because he's, in his words, more conservative.
Agree. I think a millennial is a millennial is a millennial based upon the year that you were born. Okay. But I think it's totally your opinion to say, you know, that doesn't apply to me. And with that, Michael Rotondo, I appreciate you coming on. I truly wish you the best of luck. And
I am a millennial.
Yes, Michael. Thanks.
Wow. Okay. Here's her.
So that was one of the more surreal interviews we've taken part of here in the last little while, but I genuinely wish him and his parents luck. Let's move on.
Wow. Her face is so much.
She's just like,
yeah.
Loser.
Yeah. I know. You know, when someone just mouths the words, thank you, without actually vocalizing them, that says something. Thank you. That says so much.
I can't believe that she was able to, like, what news channel is that?
That was CNN.
But is she allowed to show her emotions that much about something? Because
maybe on certain shows they can. Maybe this is just during the daytime, but like, say, like an Anderson Cooper or whomever, it's like one of the sort of the bigger name shows on CNN. They have to approach from more of an objective standpoint. She tried, but there was Reed.
I don't think she was trying at all. She was pretty obviously disgusted by this guy. Mm-hmm. I can't believe he has a child. Like, who would actually want to be with someone like that?
It's pretty easy to make a child. You know?
But what woman would be attracted to a guy that lives in with his parents still in their 30s?
I don't know. Maybe we'll get her on CNN and we can find out for sure.
Yeah.
But that was like, let's just unpack this for a second.
Okay. He is a difficult person.
Yes.
And he probably overthinks everything a lot. The fact that he represented himself in court for all of those things means that, you know, like he basically like lives inside his head, and he thinks that he's superior to other people because of his intelligence.
They're even though he was just wasn't able to articulate the answers to his questions very well, there was a certain smugness coming through from his part.
Even though he is the biggest loser ever, he thinks that he's not.
He thinks he is like the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
And he's
He's representing himself, even though he's like, even the way he's saying, oh, I'm not a lawyer, but I know blah, 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 blah.
But
he thinks that he's smart enough to be a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer, but I watched one on TV once. But I watched a lot of Matlock growing up. So on Matlock season something, episode something and something, when he was the case of the whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So hypothetical.
I think Matlock might be not a part of his millennial generation.
Yeah. It's something I thought.
Yeah.
So hypothetically speaking, you were the parents and you have a 30-year-old son. And you've asked him repeatedly to...
You know what? This is not even... It would never even be a situation for me.
Because you wouldn't get to that point.
Yeah. Like when my son is 20, if he's still living at home and he's... And then he's paying me rent. That's for sure.
Yeah.
He's paying for groceries.
Yep.
He's going to have a job. Or if he's going to university, he'll have a part-time job.
That's right.
Or... he's gonna go live in residency or something like that. Like there's no free anything. That's in my books. Nothing's free. Cause either way, someone's paying for it.
Yep.
So. And yeah, like if they don't learn responsibility as soon as possible, they will never learn it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that being said, I think the parents have a lot to, I have a lot to answer to as well. I would have liked to hear from their perspective on this.
Yeah, it would have been good to hear from them.
But last story. This one.
They're probably embarrassed. They're probably like, we don't want to be on the news.
No, what they won the court case, and there's no reason for them to be on the news. Like, the judge sided in their favor, so it's done. He has to get out within whatever period of time they specified. So,
but you know what's really made this person seem incredibly difficult?
What's that?
Is that he doesn't want to be living there.
Yeah, that's what confused me. He says that he doesn't want to be living there. He wants to be independent and move on his own, but try harder? Yeah.
But then can you imagine having an argument with someone like that?
Oh, that would drive me nuts.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure that is the reason why the parents had to take it to court, because he's so difficult that they couldn't actually come to any sort of conclusion or any sort of timeline about this.
Yeah, they asked
for
him,
years.
They repeatedly, I think it was five times was the number, they've asked for him to move out. And each time he would make excuses, refuse to move out, etc. And they just got frustrated and they said, we just want, they might be retired, I don't know, or close to retirement. They probably just want to enjoy their years without any children in the house. And this, and he's just after the fourth time, they're like, they probably said to themselves, this is ridiculous. If we ask him again and he doesn't move out, we're just gonna have to really make this serious. And they spent their own money, hired their own lawyer, did all this stuff.
It's kind of like getting like a divorce from your child, basically.
Yeah, and the fact that he has no desire to reconcile with his parents because of this situation. It's like his
is that like a millennial trait to be like overly sensitive?
Yeah. Well, maybe. I'm not the
and to like only care about themselves.
You're asking the Generation X what millennials are like, and I have no idea. Because they're just weird to me. I don't know. They're just weird.
You know what I did yesterday?
What'd you do?
I took some selfies with my friend.
Yes.
And taking selfies sucks.
Yeah. That's why they have like apps that make you look cooler.
What?
Oh, you've never heard
of it? I didn't know about that.
Do a search for something called Facetune. Yeah, it's in the app store there. Little tweaks. You can brighten up your face, reduce those wrinkles, add a little extra glow.
I did not know about
make
that.
Make yourself.
Oh my goodness. Eric, there's too much stuff out there.
Yeah.
Or you could do- like me and my friend, we could not get a good selfie. And then I started to think all these people who take selfies all the time, they must just
they know the game.
Learn how to do like the proper angle.
Proper angles, proper lighting.
Yeah.
You know, for every perfect selfie, there's probably like a dozen or so not so good selfies.
Perfect what?
Selfie. That, you know, that bugs me that that's even a word. I feel like, you know, I mean, maybe that's my age. It's just the fact that that is a word, and it's also been entered in the dictionary. I think it's official.
What? Perfect selfie has been entered in?
No, the word selfie itself.
Oh, like, selfie.
Yeah, so.
Well, there's a lot of different.
Yeah, you know, because.
Oh my goodness, you can even retouch your body.
Oh my goodness.
It's like photoshopping yourself.
Yeah, but you're only fooling yourself.
Yeah. So disgusting.
You know what we should do? Maybe for a future episode, I'll make a note of this. We'll do app reviews. Weird apps. I'm making a note of this, and you'll probably.
I feel like there needs to be a phone-free area of the city or something where you can actually see real people. Because if you're always seeing everybody else's life
as via
edited versions, you know, you're going to get pretty depressed because you're going to think that everyone else is so perfect.
It's just called getting out and, well, doing what you did last night is seeing people without through your eyes and not through the filter of apps and proper lighting and angles. It's like anybody can make themselves look 100 times better if you did go.
And you know, okay, you know what was so funny?
What?
When I was driving downtown, pulled up to a red light, and there's like a whole bunch of kids, you know, teenagers, sitting against the fence, and each one of them is just looking at their phone. And I'm like, oh, this must be a bus stop.
Yeah.
Nope.
They're just hanging
not
out.
Not a bus stop. What are they doing? Mm-hmm. They're just sitting there on their phones.
It's
so weird.
It's tempting because
I don't get that. When we were younger, we would sit and hang out in places, but we would be talking to each other and maybe smoking.
Yeah.
So what do you think is healthier? Having a cell phone addiction or a smoking addiction?
Nicotine is definitely more the healthiest.
I think so too. Yeah.
Mentally speaking, certainly not. Well, who knows? We'll see what the studies, how this all pans out.
If I had friends who were always going on their cell phone, I would be so bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see it a lot in the morning when I'm taking the bus to work. Yeah, and even coming back from work, it's just, I guess it's the equivalent of people these days, you know, people 20 years ago, people just would have brought like a paperback book and read like the latest John Grisham novel or something like that. Or
maybe they would have a Walkman or a Discman.
Yeah.
And even those people were pretty rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think technology should have stopped 15 years ago. I think that's about right. 15 years ago, when iPods were still a thing, but they were just iPods. That's all they
iPods,
could do.
iPods, yeah. Yeah, just iPods, not phones.
Yeah.
They should never have combined the things.
And your phone was, and you could text someone, but it was always a pain in the butt because it was that T9 text.
Yeah, okay, I didn't really like that.
One liked that, but it, you know, but because you didn't like it, it made texting a pain that it was easier just to pick up the phone. And just.
Yeah, and now if you phone someone, they're really weirded out. Like, why are you phoning me? Why couldn't you just text me?
Yeah. And I understand.
I don't understand that. I don't like that. If I want to talk to someone, but then people get irritated because then you're interrupting them. Well, if I'm interrupting something, don't answer the phone. That's what you used to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I purposely on the, on Friday after work, I decided, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to unplug for the duration of my bus trip and just see what happens. So I just, you know, typically I would, be on my phone. I know. I catch myself doing it as well. It's like, I'm just going to turn off. I'm going to take these things out of my ears, put my phone away, just stare out the window and think. And I did it. I know. Big gold medal for me.
Yeah. Well, and when I was, last time I was going for a walk.
And it's funny. And it's, sorry, I got to interrupt. It's funny the things you notice when you unplug yourself from the world. It's like, oh, I've passed by this same street hundreds of times on the way to and from work, and I've never noticed that one store, this feature of the neighborhood. It's like, oh yeah, that has always existed, and yet I've never noticed this, because you are now focusing yourself on the moment.
Yeah, and you know what that's called? Being present.
You gave me shit about that the other day.
And you know where that came from?
What?
A baby book.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so okay.
This book was called Baby Present, and I thought it was, you know, present as a gift, but it's present as baby is present right now, and it's all about teaching your baby to be present in this moment, and I think that's like a yoga thing.
It's a Zen thing, isn't it?
A Zen thing or something, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I agree with that, because it is so important to be present in this moment, because if you're always thinking about the past or the future, you're lost.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But so my experience was similar. I was going for a walk, and this person was walking towards me, and she was looking at her phone. And I was looking at, so I can't remember what I was looking at. Yeah. It was some sort of detail in the grass or the flowers or something like that, or just the beauty of the weather. Like, the weather has been so nice. You know, it's been like a record high.
It's been beautiful. Calgary. Yeah, it's been beautiful.
No, record high. Like, hasn't been this hot since 19-something.
Yes.
Early
1990s. Yes.
So anyway,
yes.
So this person's looking at her phone, and I just thought to myself, I'm like, you are missing out. You are totally missing out.
Yeah,
it's on like, everything around you.
It's like when I took out the bike yesterday. You know, I had brought my phone with me because I wanted to listen to music, and then I'm just like, you know what? Just take these things out of my ears. And mostly because they were falling out of my ears anyways, but I'm like, I said, I'll just be in the moment. It's
a lot nicer.
Is that just a symptom of being older? Is you just want to experience life because it is dwindling away? You just want to.
Oh my goodness, that sounds depressing.
Okay, let's not.
Life is dwindling away.
Let's not end like that. But let's No, but what?
No,
what
I think it is a part of being older and just enjoying all the little things in life. I think that maybe when you're younger, you feel like, you know, everything's in. You're invincible and I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But
yeah.
Let's be present in the moment, Eric.
Let's be in the moment, shall we? Well, thanks for joining us on a nice, relaxing morning edition of Tip Tap Tip. I hope you enjoyed your cup of chamomile tea. The smell of burning incense and just living in the moment and wondering, what the heck is up with kids these days? Why are they so weird? All their things and their butts hanging out and their phone looking and all that stuff.
Their selfies.
And they're not moving out.
And their apps.
Life is better. Life is better if you take a page out of the Tip Tap Tip playbook. And just live life for all its glory. Speaking of glory, I've updated the Tip Tap Tip website. It is new and improved. I've taken / ripped off some of the best ideas of of a couple of podcast websites which I've seen out there, and tried to make some improvements. So if you have some time, go to tiptaptip.com and give us some feedback and let us know what you think.
I really like the designs and the... that you put on the background.
Yes. Well, actually replaced that last night. You'll have to see the new version.
Oh.
Yeah. So I did a lot of work last night. So check that out.
Is it a whole bunch of naked men?
Yeah, that's it.
Perfect.
Rochelle, you can see Rochelle's art on Instagram, Rochelle Skilling Art. And also she has a website as well too, RochelleSkilling.com, including some paintings which she did last year, which are not on Instagram, I don't think.
No, because they're too big.
They're too big. So check that out. Also follow Tip Tap Tip on Instagram. I put up lots of fun stuff, which I'm also going to put up a scan slash picture of this outline, which has been defaced slash improved by Rochelle. Check
improved.
That
improved.
Check that out on our Instagram, Tip Tap Tip Show. And hey, you want to get in contact with us? You want to give us your thoughts, comments, prayers? info@tiptaptip.com is our email address. We love you. We are Tip Tap Tip. Thanks for listening. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
We'll talk later. Bye.
Bye.